Judge Hugh Clark Jr. How are you, Judge?
I'm fine this morning. Thank you.
You know, you and I were talking last night, and we've never met personally, but I just get the sense through your efforts, through everything that you have done in your political life as well as your professional life, you've always wanted to be a judge. It was important to you. You've run for the office and not had the opportunity to get elected and to serve. You were telling me that the first moments on the bench, you were just pinching yourself. You were so happy and elated with the opportunity.
Well, I was, but, you know, I also have to add, if I told you I wasn't nervous, my nose would probably grow a couple inches.
So, tell me about the first day on the bench, the first moments. What happened?
Well, you know, when I sat down, I mean, I looked out and I had three sentencings scheduled in one probation violation, and I just had this grin on my face, and I had to apologize to those in the courtroom, and I indicated to them that, you know, look, this is my first day, I'm excited, but I'm going to get over it real quick, and we're going to get through this.
Well, let's talk about the process of you being named to the bench. Talk about when you got that phone call that you were being considered.
Well, actually, when I got the phone call that I was being considered was after, the phone call came just this past Monday, early enough in the afternoon to indicate that I had been selected or was being offered the position by Governor Granholm. And it was kind of interesting because I had a potential new client about 15 minutes away from their appointment with me in the office. So after that, and explaining to them that I couldn't take their case, it was just a whirlwind. It's almost like it was just surreal because we had to go into office shutdown mode, which took us some time.
Well, and talking about the process, how long was it? Was it a week? Was it days before you knew you were going to be offered and you were going to accept this position?
Well, it was probably just after the November election. And actually, after Judge Krause was appointed to the Court of Appeals, so that was a shorter window, I think, than usual. I want to say it was probably about 3 to 4 weeks going through that process. They posted the position. Other persons, I understand, made application and went through the interview process with the State Bar of Michigan as well. And just kind of waiting for them to go through, you know, the governor's office. They have their process that they use, and you just have to wait for the process to work its way through.
So you have a law practice that you've been working more than 30 years at. What happened there? You've got cases that are pending. What happens with the practice?
Well, once I made application, and, you know, if you don't know if you're going to be selected or not, you have to be careful about cases you take, and you really shouldn't take cases that you don't think you could finish within whatever the time frame for the appointment was going to be. And I just took it as, you know, the end of the year. So you do some things in advance, you know, just like a trial, you get prepared just in case. So we had letters and things in place, a plan or a process in place that we would implement should I have been selected. And like I said, when the call came, we just went in that mode. I mean, we had sent out certified letters to every client advising them of the appointment, and I had taken the forethought to have two, three attorneys in the area that I had a lot of respect for, and had talked to them about taking some of the cases. I divided them up, depending on their complexity, amongst three attorneys in town. Payments that have been made by clients for their case accompanied. We negotiated a reasonable fee for them to continue the work that had to be done on those cases. And just getting papers out to clients and getting the signed substitutions and getting them in to see their new attorneys.
So tell me, what is the focus of your court? What will you be working on, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the Lansing District Court is like it's almost like the people's court. It is generally most people, if they go to court, this is where they end up, where they may appear for things as traffic tickets, traffic violations, landlord-tenant matters, civil claims where the amount in controversy is less than $25,000, misdemeanor ordinance and statute violations. And the court also conducts preliminary examinations on criminal cases, and that's a hearing to determine if there is sufficient evidence to advance the case to circuit court for trial or other final disposition.
You've had the opportunity to work in that court. What can be done to improve what's being done?
Well, I don't. It's hard to say about anything you can improve because you have such a great group of judges there who have experience spanning about 30-plus years, a couple of the judges there. I remember practicing before when I first started practicing law, that being Judge Cherry and Judge Felice. Judge DeLuca was a former prosecutor, Ingham County prosecutor. He had a solo he was in private practice. So, you know, before he took the bench, he brought years and years of experience to the district court bench. Judge Alderson had practiced law before in the over in Clinton County, the prosecutor's office, and she's been on the bench several years now. So, you know, when you have a great team of lawyers, there's not necessarily a lot you need to do to improve. What I want to do, make sure that I do, to earn the trust and respect of the citizens, is to simply, you know, show up on time, start court on time, treat everyone with courtesy, fairness, and respect. I want to give everyone an opportunity to, you know, plead their case and tell me whatever it is they think I need to know to reach a decision on their particular circumstance.
And then, of course, you have budget constraints. We've talked about on this program many times budgets get cut. You have to decide if you're going to put someone on a tether or in jail. And if there's no beds in the jail, that's going to be a part of the process. Talk about how you deal with situations like that.
Well, I'm going to certainly draw upon some of my colleagues for advice, but I think you have to take a common sense approach to sentencing, you know, when we talk about criminal matters, and you have to consider bed space in the jail. I mean, do you want someone there? I mean, do you want to make sure you have jail space for those who truly need to have some jail time? Or, you know, do you want to just take it up with people who maybe can be released on electronic monitoring? And with GPS monitoring, you know, you can pretty much confine them to home, and they would need permission from the supervising agency to leave home to do anything and only for certain time periods. Or do you put people out for community service? And I had a situation yesterday where a person owed the court about $600, and they hadn't really been able to make a lot of payments over the past few months. And I said, well, I gave them a payment plan and said, you know, pay this amount each month or, you know, give us 20 hours of community service. One of the two. I mean, these are hard times, and while we have to collect fines and costs that are due and owing, you know, you also have to understand people's individual circumstance. And, you know, you can't expect people to do things that you know in the beginning they're not going to be able to do.
All right. Well, it's been great chatting with you. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll be talking with you in the future. Congratulations on the new appointment.
Thank you, and certainly Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and your family, and Brittany, your producer, and your staff as well.